So if you hadn't heard, the Pope was in town just a few weeks ago. I was paying very diligent attention. I was following with great interest the whole time. I've been a long-time fan, as long as you can be, just since 2013, of Pope Francis and the work that he's doing in the church and the work that he's doing in the world. Certainly drew out the crowds, and I confess I would have been one of them had our 50th anniversary not been going on last week. The week before, prepping for last Sunday and the program last Saturday had us all sort of scurrying around in the church office and getting all kinds of things ready here, and I would have been one of those people down in the National Mall just looking for a glimpse or a brush. But I didn't get that chance to do that, and I was saddened, but I was certainly paying attention. He left us with some words, amazing words of witness, I think, over the course of his time here. He said, the joy of men and women who love God attracts others to him. And I've always believed that. Isn't that true? That more than anything we can say about God, if we embody the joy of the gospel, then people are drawn to that. Not to us, but drawn to Christ. He said, a Christianity which does little in practice while incessantly explaining its teachings is dangerously imbalanced. And if you know anything about this Pope, he has spent a lot more time trying to embody what the gospel looks like and trying to put the church in contact with the poor and those on the margins than he has just talking about dogma and doctrine. If the church doesn't give evidence and live out its faith, the church becomes irrelevant. And he said this, all that is good, all that is true, all that is beautiful brings us to God, because God is good. God is beautiful. God is the truth. Now, you know you've arrived when you make the cover of Rolling Stone, you know? I'm not sure any other pope has ever been on the cover of Rolling Stone before, but this Pope Francis has that kind of broad appeal in our culture. One of the things that really touched me is back in Rockville, where I used to live for 16 years, and where Pastor Martha's church is right now, very close to her, is a school and a church called St. Jude's Roman Catholic Church. And they had their own, while the Pope was coming to town, they had their own Pope parade. And so they had the assigned parts, including the Secret Service guy out front. And you've got the attendants to the Pope and the Pope-mobile right there. And I love this picture, you know, the Secret Service guy looking off to the, disinterested, and there's the Pope. And I saw coverage of that on the news, and I was just really heartened by it, because here was a way to sort of live into this experience and get to experience it if you can see it firsthand. Up in Philadelphia, where I grew up, they had you could purchase T-shirts with the Pope in a Philadelphia Eagles jersey, like this, number 15. And also up in Philadelphia, they called it the Tour de Francis, the miracle of no traffic on the Schuylkill. The Schuylkill Expressway was shut down when the Pope was there. It's sort of like our beltways around D.C. and Baltimore, and it's the main artery to the city, but they shut it down, and it was a miracle because there was no traffic on the Schuylkill for the St. Tour de Francis. Francis himself had some lighter moments when he was here. He talked about, when he was talking to the seminary up there in Philadelphia, he was talking to a group of men. He's talking about these moms in Buenos Aires when he was a priest down there who would complain about failure to launch sons, those who would never grow up and they never left home. He said, in Buenos Aires, mothers say to me, my son is 34, he's not getting married, I don't know what to do. So I tell him, don't iron his shirts anymore. You know, very practical advice. If you want your son to grow up and leave the house, stop ironing his shirts. Now, you know you've arrived when you become the talk of late-night TV, and certainly all of the late-night hosts were talking about the Pope's visit. Conan O'Brien said that when he arrived, that President Obama was to greet him, and he'd be the one standing at the airport with the sign that said Pope. And Jimmy Kimmel said the Pope addressed about 11,000 people at the welcoming event. He spoke about climate change. He said it's a problem that we can no longer pass off to future generations. And he said it's a personal issue for the Pope, because this is a guy who goes around wearing a floor-length long-sleeved gown to work every day, and it's really hot. Jimmy Fallon said, I saw that top congressional leader sent a statement to the House and Senate with guidelines for Pope Francis's visit, including a request to not shake his hand. Apparently, they're worried that if politicians touch the Pope, they'll burst into flames. And then just this past Friday night, Jimmy Fallon has a segment called Thank You Notes. I don't know if you ever tune in for that. I think they're very cleverly written. But the first thank you note this week was, thank you, Pope, for showing us that you can wear white after Labor Day. So all kinds of ways that he was in the news. Now, he part of what makes this pope appealing for so many people, myself included, is that he really loves being with people. And he was about 15 minutes late for his appointment at the White House because he was busy taking selfies along the way with all of these people. He kept stopping and would pose for pictures, especially with children. He was always drawn to the children, the kids in the crowd. But he had these serious and poignant moments. He says, life's a journey along different roads, different paths which leave their mark on us. We know in faith that Jesus seeks us out. He wants to heal our wounds, to soothe our feet, which hurt from traveling alone, to wash each of us clean of the dust from our journey. Isn't that why you come to church? To be in a community of faith with other people who will go on this journey with you to soothe our feet, which hurt from traveling alone. What a great line that is. We need a community of faith of people to soothe our wounds and wash one another's feet here in this community. Of course, he addressed some pretty important people along the way. We've went to some pretty important venues here. He is at the, addressing Congress. And I have to say that I was really touched by not only what he said there, but by the whole moment. And if you saw the camera, if you saw any coverage of this at all in the news, you saw pictures of Joe Biden and John Boehner, who could not be more different politically, right? Who stand on very different sides of a lot of issues, but both of them very devout Catholics. And this was such a holy moment for them, and you saw it in their tears, and you saw it in their faces, and you saw it wasn't just an official visit, right? It was something really deeply personal. And he touched them, and he touched some other people. But that didn't prevent him from, like, talking to them, right? What he talked about when he was at Congress was talking about polarization in the world. He says, too often we divide people into this group and this group. He was talking to Democrats and Republicans. He was talking to liberals and conservatives. He said, where is the common good? Where do we find the best for everybody anymore? So even though he's probably stepped on a few toes there, I'm sure. Now, he had his moments with President Obama as well, these private conversations that he got to share and some lighter moments. I love this picture. He had such a packed itinerary. It's amazing what he did in less than a week in the States and all the different places and all the different groups that he spoke to and met with. One of the meetings was with the Sisters of the Poor, the same sisters that worked with Mother Teresa. And to know that he's meeting with presidents and also meeting with the Sisters of Poor to validate their work on the front lines of where the gospel needs to be real, where the love of Christ needs to be real, with real people with real pain and real wounds. And I love this scene of them like looking, trying to catch just a glimpse of the Holy Father. He also, when he was in Philadelphia, he visited in the prisons. He had, of course, this great, huge mass there with over a million people, but he also took time to be with these inmates and to bless them and to break bread with them, to share the Eucharist with them, and to tell them that their lives mattered too and that our systems of justice are broken in the world. He says, it's painful when we see prison systems which are not concerned to care for wounds, to soothe pain, to offer new possibilities. It is painful when we see people who think that only others need to be cleansed, purified, and do not recognize that their weariness, pain, and wounds are also the weariness, pain, and wounds of society. That what we do in our prisons says a lot about who we are as people. And what we do with the people who have failed or who have made terrible decisions in their lives and who have been violent, are they redeemable? And how do we treat people like that? The Pope would say that Christ is present there, and Christ needs to be present there, and the church needs to be present. I think it's quite fitting that today, if you were in Fellowship Hall, or if you go down to Fellowship Hall, you'll see that Reid Reiniger has a display about our prison ministry going on today, at Kairos Prison Ministry. You have a chance to write letters and to draw posters and to reach out to people to say that Christ is present, even in those places. When the Pope was in New York, one of the more somber moments, but really touching, was the interfaith service that took place at the 9/11 memorial. And he talked about that act of violence and those names and all of those lives. He said, acts of destruction are never impersonal, abstract, or merely material. They always have a face, a concrete story a name. And we saw that again this week in that terrible shooting. All of those acts of violence, they have a name. Those are life, real life stories. But there he was with rabbis and imams and people of all different faiths in that service, remembering and praying for a different kind of world. And in one of the holiest moments, he just simply laid a rose on the memorial to remember in silence those lives. He addressed the world gathering of families that was taking place in Philadelphia. That was another one of his venues, and that's where that huge mass took place. And this is what he said to them, and he says to all of us who live in families, and all of us are part of families, right? He said, perfect families do not exist. This must not discourage us. Quite the opposite. Love is something we learn. Love is something we live. Love grows as it is forged by the concrete situations which each particular family experiences. Love is born and constantly develops amid lights and shadows, which is to say that God's love can be made real and more real in our families, no matter how broken or painful they may be. And that if we try to live with this illusion that there's this perfect family out there, and only once we get our act together is God welcome, then we are living with a lie, because God is present even in the midst of the lights and the shadows. Now, I don't know about you, Evan. Have you ever had a chance to preach before 20,000 people and adoring fans, be treated like a rock star like he was up at Madison Square Garden? That Madison Square Garden was turned into a church for a day. It was quite an amazing sight. Here was the docket for the day. Harry Connick Jr. and Gloria Estefan and Jennifer Hudson, all the best coming out for the Pope. And the Pope really was treated like a rock star while he was here. I mean, just adoring fans of all kinds that showed up. I was at the gym playing basketball that week, and one of the guys I play with, who owns a tattoo parlor down in Annapolis, and his girlfriend is not, as by his admission and hers too, not a very religious person, but he was saying to me, you know, she really likes this Pope. She thinks he's got something to say. And so all kinds of people were being drawn to this man and this message. He had sort of this star quality about him. And he was asked about the fact he was being treated like such a celebrity. And with his inimitable style, he deflected that. So, you know, even though there are Pope dolls, I want to get one of those, I think. I'm sure you can get them on eBay now. He says, do you know what the title was of the Pope that ought to be used? This is an ancient title for the Pope. The servant of the servants of God. He said it's a little different from the stars, because they were talking to him as if though he was the star. Stars are beautiful to look at. I like to look at them in the summer when the sky is clear, but the Pope must be the servant of the servants of God. Yes, in the media this is happening, but there's another truth. So he acknowledged all the hoopla and the stuff that he was garnering. How many stars have we seen that go out and fall? It's a fleeting thing. On the other hand, being servant of the servants of God is something that doesn't pass. And that was not just a PR tour, and that was not just a soundbite. Since day one that he became Pope, he's been living the talk. He took the name of Francis, lowly servant Francis. He decided not to live in the palace, right? Rather, he wanted to live in community in one of the apartments, a very simple apartment that he lives in. He doesn't take the best transportation. Matter of fact, somebody said proof that the Pope has faith is that he was driving a Fiat when he was here in the United States. But he, you know, even that Fiat next to those giant SUVs was quite a symbol, wasn't it? Just the humility that he lives with. And I think that's what draws me to this Pope more than anything else, is that he walks the talk. And he lives into the words of Philippians 2 that you just heard read so beautifully a few minutes ago. When Paul is talking to the Christian community there and saying that you really ought to give yourselves over to service to one another, that you ought to bend over backwards for one another, he says, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant. Have this mind in you which was in Christ. And in the end, I think that's why I'm drawn to the Pope, because when I look at his life and his witness, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. Of course, I love the way he reaches out to children all the time. That's a big part of who he is. And I leave you with these words for all of us. Jesus keeps knocking on our doors, the doors of our lives. He doesn't do this by magic with special effects, with flashing lights and fireworks. No, Jesus just keeps knocking on our door in the faces of our brothers and our sisters, in the faces of our neighbors, in the faces of those at our side. And I love that about this church, too, because we know that. That where we will meet Christ, where we will meet God, is when we love and serve our neighbors, our brothers and sisters. And what better day to remind ourselves of that than this day, World Communion Sunday, as we gather around a table, as we follow a Jesus who poured himself out for us. So I'm proud to be a United Methodist. I don't think anytime soon I'm going to be converting to Roman Catholicism. But I do love this Pope, and I claim him as my Pope too. And I think he has a lot to teach all of us, especially on this day when we claim our place in the bigger church of God. Amen.